Hey everyone, my family moved to Erie when I was 14 years old. I was going into ninth grade and it was a really rough transition for me. But my family found this church called Grace Baptist Church. We'd have been invited there by Bob and Mel Deppen. I got involved in the youth ministry right away at Grace and my worldview started to be shaped. My youth pastor mentored me and my small group was a source of spiritual strength and encouragement for me. I was being challenged to live out my faith even at school. And when I was at school, I met this beautiful girl at McDowell named Kim. She's now my wife. And she and I started this prayer group, a Bible study, early in the morning before school started. Before we knew it, 30 or 40 students were gathered in the morning to pray right there on the school grounds. And it was incredible movement. But when I went away to college, I knew that some sort of ministry was on the table simply because I'd tasted the power and potential of the church to bring change, even in a public high school. And toward the end of my college years, I traveled all over the country with a small group of guys singing and speaking about the love of God and the power of Jesus to change lives. A couple years after graduating from college, I received a call back to Grace Church as a youth pastor. And I tried to return the favor that I'd been given myself by investing in the lives of junior and senior high students, a bunch of whom are now on staff here at Grace, helping to lead this church right now. And I tell you all that just to let you know that I don't know where I'd be without this church. I was baptized here. I've served God with my wife here. I've gotten to watch my kids grow up in this church. They've been baptized. And I just don't know where my family or my children would be if it weren't for Grace. I get to serve God every day with some of the finest, most amazing trophies of God's love, the dearest friends of mine at this church. It's pretty surreal to see where we've been, and to now have been on staff for 23 years here, and to stand before you again as your lead pastor, to remind us all that God isn't finished with us yet. In fact, I believe that the best is yet to come for Grace Church. And I know I'm not alone. This church has had a powerful transforming impact in many of your lives too. You could stand right up here and tell your own story today about God's transformative power through the impact of His church. And every few years, we go on another adventure together where we say, you know, here's what we believe God is telling us and where He's taking us for the next chapter. And so we believe that we've received some new marching orders, and this is where He wants us to go next. And all of us who've been changed by Jesus in His church put our hands in the middle and we say, okay, there are countless lives out there yet to be reached. Here's the plan. We're going to chase together. Now go reach them with the love of God. We'll sacrifice and we'll commit and we'll do it together. I don't think God ever looks at us in the midst of all of these times and says, okay, that's it, you've arrived, we're done now. No, He's not finished. And right now in March 2018, I'm reminding us all that God isn't finished. He's not done with you personally. He's not done with us collectively. It's a new day, a new time, a new chapter. And praise God, His mercies are new every morning. Amen. There's more ahead for us. And so I stand before you today to present what I believe, what our leaders believe, is God's vision for our church for the next 3 years. Actually, 41 months to be exact, through the end of 2021. This vision is called Transform 1-8. Transform because we believe God is calling us to make positive change in our own lives and in the world around us. And 1-8 because of Acts 1-8, which we'll look at in just a moment. Hundreds of the people of Grace, ranging in ages from 15 to about 85, have been part of feedback and listening groups that I've personally engaged over the last year to talk about this vision. Their input has helped to shape what I'll be sharing with you over the next few weeks. Because of this process, I believe that this vision represents the heartbeat of our church in a profound way because of their involvement this time around. This process has caused me also to reaffirm what I'm already known for a long time. That the greatest resource of Grace Church, it's not our music, it's not our preaching, it's not our buildings, our greatest resource is our people, it's you. And we can't build an exceptional church without continuing to build exceptional people, exceptional disciples of Jesus. So that's the starting place for this new vision. It's you and me, it's our lives. You see, it's so easy to get complacent in our spiritual lives or to just get stuck in a rut and then, you know, lack the motivation to get out of it. But I want to remind each of you, each individual at Grace, as we prepare to embark on this journey together, that God isn't finished with you yet. As Craig Groeschel would say, if you're not dead, you're not done, right? Think about it. A lot of people think that the goal of the Christian life is just to get to heaven. Now, that is going to be incredibly amazing, but I would argue that if that was the goal of becoming a Christian, then the moment that you became a Christian, God would have whisked you away to the sweet by and by. He would have taken you to heaven immediately. Why waste any more time down here on earth than you need to? Just get to the goal, get to heaven. But do something with me just for a moment, will you? Just wherever you're at, just reach down on your arm or on your leg or whatever and give yourself a good pinch, all right? Just do that right now. You know what that means? You're still here. God didn't whisk you away to heaven because he's not finished with you yet, which means there's something left for you to do, something left for you to accomplish. This in-between space between the time that you were saved and the time that you go to heaven when you die, this in-between is pretty important to God. That's why you're still here. If you ever watch Stranger Things, they have the upside down, right? We have the in-between. And with your in-between, don't miss your moment. Don't get stuck. Don't waste it on petty things. Don't settle for just making money or vain pleasures or filling your life with time wasters. Ask yourself, what is God up to? What does he want me to do? What does he want to do with your life? As I've been thinking about this, I realize that God has entrusted each of us, every one of us, with three key gifts, three tools that he could use to change the world through us. We may not have much, but every single one of us has these three transformational resources right at our disposal. You have them too. These three things, if we'd place them back in the hands of God, could make a major difference in our world. You want to know what they are? I'll be talking much more about them next week. But the three things are your story, your calling, and your finances. Your story is just your daily walk with God that's supposed to be lived to the fullest and then shared with others. Your calling is simply God's plan for your life, the combination of your gifts and your skills and your passions, your experiences. And your finances are God's resources that he's let you borrow and use during these short years on earth. And I believe that in your in-between, between the time you're saved, the time you go to heaven, that you're supposed to figure out how God wants you to leverage those three things, not for your own gain, but for the advancement of the kingdom of God in this world. And there's added power when we can focus those kind of things. And so where will we focus this collective energy that will come as all of us lays those three things before God during these next 3 years and says, God, transform me so I can transform others. That's, by the way, that's the umbrella statement that we're putting over this whole vision. It's transforming communities through transformed lives. That as our lives are transformed, that all the little communities that we will touch will also be transformed by what God is up to, from your family, little family community, to your neighborhood community, to your break room at work, to your life group at church, to the agency that you serve in our city, to a village in a third world country. All of those little communities will be transformed as you are transformed, as those three things are enacted toward God's kingdom. And by the way, that's where Acts 1:8 comes in as well. And so I want you to turn there now in your Bible or device, Acts 1:8. It's in the New Testament, just after the Gospels. Acts 1:8 is a passage that we go to a lot around here. It's kind of part two of the Great Commission that Jesus gave to his disciples. The Great Commission back in Matthew 28 is simply this. It's this passage that our whole mission statement comes from that says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So when Jesus issued this Great Commission to his disciples, he's telling them and us what to do. Go make disciples. But then he comes back in Acts 1:8 and he tells us how to do it. He provides kind of a strategy to that mission. And so he's, again, gathered his disciples together right before he ascends into heaven. And he says this to them in Acts 1:8. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Would you underline those two words, receive power, and just write, not my strength, in the margin. All right? God is providing the supernatural strength for us in this endeavor. When the Spirit of God comes on you, you will walk in a new kind of power and authority. We'll talk more about that next week. But look what's next. He says, and you will be my witnesses. Underline that word witnesses, will you? And just write, tell my story in the margin. This is a courtroom term, and a lot of Christians today think that God has asked us to be the prosecutors in the courtroom, or the judge in the courtroom, or the jury, or the executioner. No, he's asked us to be witnesses. And what witnesses do is they provide a testimony about what they've seen, heard, and experienced. They tell their story. And so Jesus says, I'm going to fill you with power from the Holy Spirit. You will use the story and the resources I've given you, and here's where I want you to apply these resources, okay? Here's the focus. Here's the target. He says, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You can underline each of those four regions, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth, and just write targets of transformation. And the thing is, the disciples received these words, but they didn't do it right away. And it took some extra coaxing by God, like allowing some persecution to come so that they would leave Jerusalem and go to these different areas. But eventually the disciples followed this pattern and the world was reached with the gospel. In fact, this verse provides kind of a table of contents for the rest of the book of Acts. And this new faith, this new way called Christianity, it spread like wildfire to the known world. And from a human standpoint, the growth of Christianity, it doesn't even make any sense. Jesus gave this strategy to 120 frightened, untrained, uneducated, unfunded followers. And Jesus wasn't part of a royal family. There was no army. There was no political movement, no media. Heck, he only spent 3 years leading his movement before he was killed. And the big plan amounted to this, that average people like you and me targeting these four areas and then go around telling people that a dead man came back to life and that he changed my life and he can change yours too. That was it. And when you look at that just from a common sense standpoint, you have to ask, how did Christianity ever even make it out of that part of the world? But guess what? The strategy worked. And here we are, thousands gathered this weekend just at one single church, and that movement is still spreading. Jesus' strategy worked, and it will still work. And so our Transform 1-8 vision, we've applied these four regions to our modern context. Let me tell you how we're thinking about them, and then I want to walk you through them. Jerusalem. We're defining Jerusalem just as your home turf. And for the disciples, it was where their friends and families and people closest to them lived. And so with our vision, when we talk about your Jerusalem, we're talking about your relationships, your immediate circle of influence, your family, friends, neighbors, coworkers. And so as you're being transformed by God, you will in turn become a transformational force in your Jerusalem, okay? Judea. Judea was the name for just the region that they were in. And so we're calling Judea your site. It's Girard, if you're in Girard, Harbor Creek, McCain, wherever your site is located. And so if God's transforming you, you're going to have a transformational impact at your site, your Judea. Samaria is that area that was geographically close, but culturally different. So we're calling this our city. If you're at one of our physical locations today, for us, that city is Erie. We're called to bring transformation to our city. And finally, the ends of the earth represents our world. Our global partner churches in Haiti and the DR and Japan and our missionary partners all over the earth. And so these four concentric circles represent Jesus' strategy to reach the world. Start where you are and start working your way outward. The way we're framing it is we're saying that every individual at Grace should be deeply committed to that inner circle, to reaching your circle, your Jerusalem. Most of those people in that circle, you have a much better chance of reaching than me or your site pastor or anyone else in this whole world, to be honest. But beyond that, we're going to encourage you to pick one of those other three circles to be your primary focus over these next few years and to step up and be a leader in one of those areas, either your site, your city, or our global involvement. Be a leader in one, but then still be engaged at some level. Be a servant in the other two. Lead in one and serve in two. Now let me go back through them and get a little bit more specific about both some of the individual goals inside there and our church-wide goals. First, with your Jerusalem, or your relationships. In so many of my meetings with people over the last year, as I was crafting this vision, a common cry came out. People were saying two things. I want to walk closer with God in my daily life. And I want to learn how to talk about my faith in a way that's not weird or offensive to people. So it's our desire over the next 3 years to help each of you to move your faith from weekly to daily. We've been working toward this with better and more consistent daily devotional materials, you know, through our website and devotional books that we provide. But we want to continue to provide these materials and even more content throughout the year to help you to make your faith a daily expression. We realize that this is going to involve some additional creativity, some additional content, some additional technology when it comes to expanding the functionality of our app and website and other things. It's also going to involve exploring other mediums like YouTube and social media to produce videos that will support our written content. We're also going to be helping you to share your faith with three people over the next 3 years. These people are in your circle. And we realize that this is going to involve some better training in this area. And so we're going to be bringing in some training opportunities in the areas of sharing your faith and knowing and defending what you believe and those sorts of things. We also recognize the need to explore some new opportunities to invite people to church. We'd like to experiment with some different worship venues and experiences, like a house church model, a pop-up church experiences, and even exploring different days of the week and times and venues in which to hold our church gatherings and experiences. You know, the old saying rings true that to reach people that no one's reaching, you need to do things that no one is doing. And so we want to do some experimenting over these next 3 years. More to come on all that. Here's the second area. It's Judea, that's your site. Now let me start with the big goal for this area. The big goal is this, that we would double our weekend attendance at each site in the next 3 years. That's a big one, right? Someone asked me the other day how I arrived at that specific goal, and it's very simple, that if we're all praying for and sharing our faith with three other people, if one of them accepts an invitation to be part of our church during that time, then we've doubled, right? If everyone brings one over the next 3 years, we're there. Seems pretty doable, doesn't it, when you think of it in those terms? Now, just to put real numbers to this, we've been averaging around 1,750 people on a weekend. And so doubling would look like a church of 3,500 people on a weekend. That amounts to growing to 300 in Girard, 900 in Harbor Creek, 2,300 in McCain. And in order to do that, we're going to need to make some more space for that to happen. So a major priority in this is Grace Harbor Creek. We're busting at the seams there. We're out of parking. We have over 450 people in attendance each weekend. And you guys in Harbor Creek know, I mean, it's just ready to explode there. And so we'd be crazy not to make room in Harbor Creek. So we have drawings in the works for a brand new worship center, atrium, cafe area in Harbor Creek that would be added to the existing building, which will transition then afterwards into children and youth and classroom and office space, that existing building, as well as expanded parking lots. So that's Harbor Creek. And in order to double in McCain, it will involve some interior renovations to expand our children's ministry capacity as well as our worship space. And in Girard, we're so fortunate to be in a school environment that will allow us to continue to expand to 300 and beyond. And so our leaders in Girard have already made some great inroads with the administration there who have allowed us to set up more permanently in the auditorium and the rest of the building so we don't have massive load and unload every week. We're going to need some additional rooms for Grace Kids and so forth, but we have an awesome opportunity to grow right where we're at during this season and then see what God does after that. Now, in order to grow like this, it means that each of you is also going to need to step in or step up at your site. More and more people are going to need to step into volunteer roles. Some of you are going to need to step up into leadership roles. You know, God knows how to build churches. We say it all the time. And you are at your site for a reason. And that reason is not just to spectate. It's to be used by God to serve other people in some capacity. And you may say, well, you know, what's all this talk about all these numbers? Is this just Derek trying to, you know, build some kind of empire or whatever? Maybe we should just get him some therapy. It'll be cheaper, you know, in the long run. Listen, this isn't about empire building. Since the beginning of our church, we have maintained a huge heart for the lost, for those who are far from God. The people outside the walls of our church are just as important to God as those inside. And if we don't set marks to keep aggressively sharing God's love with those outside our walls, we will become comfortable and complacent and we'll forget about them entirely. Churches do it all the time. These aren't just numbers, guys. These are people for whom Jesus died. And I want to remind you of some of the demographic numbers that we discovered before we moved to each of our sites. Within a 7-mile radius of downtown Girard, there are 16,500 people who are not actively involved in their faith and don't have a church home. In Harbor Creek, that number is 25,000. In McCain, within 10 miles, that number is 50,000. And so even if we grow by a couple of thousand people over the next 3 years, we're still not even scratching the surface of those people in our backyard who are facing a Christless eternity if someone doesn't reach them. We mustn't ever lose this focus. And so we're praying that everyone will bring one over the next 3 years. Third area, Samaria, our city. Many of you know that we love our city deeply. This past year, we saw Servieri become its own nonprofit organization, although Grace Church still maintains a controlling interest in leading Servieri moving forward. We've set it up that way. But we've adopted an area of the city that is in deep crisis in terms of poverty, crime, drug use. At the same time, we're being positioned to raise the bar in our city at every level in terms of influence and leadership and solution. Pastor Marcus has incredible opportunities on the table right now. And we have to remember that what happens in our city affects all of us. The Bible says that we are to seek the welfare of the city, for in its welfare, you will find your welfare. And so our hope is that the people of Grace, you will find your place in the city and keep showing up consistently. Whether that's through Serviri or another partner organization, we hope to help facilitate more opportunities for you to engage the city. But another huge project during these next 3 years involves our surprise gift from God. You know, the early history of our church is that 19 believers started a house church back in 1895 on the corner of 7th and Holland. In 1906, they took a huge step of faith and they tore that house down and they built a church in its place. That church still stands there. It was our original facility right in the heart of downtown Erie. And after their move to the suburbs in the 50s, they sold that building. It was an art gallery for many years. It was a dance studio for a while. And that building is now owned by Erie Insurance. We received a call last year from Erie asking us if we were interested in having our building back. We said yes. And so we're currently leasing the building from them until we complete the exterior renovations, hopefully sometime this summer, at which time the building will be turned over to us completely. It's just another amazing story of God's provision for his church. And I love the statement that it makes as well, that Grace was part of the suburban sprawl away from the city back in the 50s. But now we're saying, no, our heart is truly with the city and we want to return and have an ongoing spiritual presence in this city that we love so much. And the big question has become, well, what are we going to do with it, right? Originally, before the whole building thing happened, we were thinking about doing a Grace multi-site location in downtown Erie. But the more we visited with pastors and leaders in the city, the more we realized that our calling might not be to start another church, but to help to multiply the ministry that is already happening in the city through existing churches and organizations. And so currently our dream is to start a leadership development center there in our old building at 7th and Holland. From there, we will help to launch new ministries that will address the prevailing needs of our city, but we're also going to support existing ministries through training and resourcing and offering space, co-work space, whatever. One downtown church asked us a year or so ago to come in and help to do some training so that they could start a children's ministry at their church on Sunday morning. They didn't know where to begin. And so a couple of our Grace Kids leaders went in, did some simple training with six of their volunteers, and the next week, they had a kids ministry up and running. The next month, their church had nearly doubled in size. Guys, if we can help churches and leaders in our city to multiply their effectiveness like that, we're going to reach way more people than we would ever reach by starting our own church in the city. And so 7th and Holland could become a launching pad for ministry. Some of you who either already lead ministries or who will find your calling over these next 3 years to address some of the prevailing needs of our city, it could become a launching pad for you too. Exterior renovations will begin this spring with money from our Forward project that was designated for a downtown site. And then we will pursue interior renovations sometime after that. Finally, the ends of the earth, our world. Remember, the Great Commission that I mentioned earlier, Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. And here we are 2,000 years later and the whole world still hasn't been reached. We still have work to do, church. And as an upper middle class American church, we have a global responsibility to see the gospel proclaimed and people reached far beyond our immediate impact zone. The way we've chosen to do this is to move in the direction of pursuing church partners around the world. That is coming alongside world-class, indigenous, local pastors and leaders who are leading like-minded churches in their countries, and then partnering with them to accomplish their mission and vision. We started in Haiti with Grace and Zion Church and pastors Miguelison and James, dear, dear friends. And next, we partnered with Iglesia de Dios Pentecostal in the Dominican Republic with Pastor Silverio and in a nearby school led by a local saint named Perla. Last year, we added Ono Church in Japan led by Pastor Nobu. If we're going to double in size as a church over these next 3 years, it seemed like God was prompting us to also raise some funds to help these three partner churches to multiply their ministries as well. So we want to help increase the capacity of our global partners. The needs in each of those churches are different, but we're looking forward to dreaming with them about growing their impact in their own communities. And for you, as it relates globally, we're going to ask you to consider being either a goer, a sender, or a sponsor. Either go on a trip to one of these partner churches, help to send someone on a trip, or sponsor a child in one of our schools in the DR or Haiti. You know, the kids in those schools are not only receiving a great education and learning about Jesus from an early age, but they're also receiving basic needs like food and water when they're at school that they may not even get at home. And it is possible that right now, that in one of our schools, that we are raising up the next great leader from Haiti or the DR who 20 years from now could turn the tide of their entire nation toward Jesus. Isn't that an amazing thought? Well, it's going to be a pretty exciting 3 years, don't you think? I mean, I hope you're convinced by now that God isn't finished with us yet. I'm going to go into some more detail over the next 2 weeks about some different components of the vision. And then on March 25th, we're going to have a very special commitment Sunday where we're going to be making financial commitments to this vision. It's always a really special time for our church family. The goal of this three-year campaign is $2.3 million. And if you call Grace your church home, we would love for everyone to be involved at some level. We need some six-figure commitments. We need some $6 commitments to make this happen. Our kids and our youth and everyone will be involved. In fact, our youth are getting back from their weekend retreat today that was all about transforming their world. Transform 1-8, this whole theme. They're joining us at the latest service at all of our locations. And I'm sure God has done some big stuff in their lives this weekend. We love you guys if you're one of our students. And we're anticipating the fruit of God's power through you. God has always responded when our youth have led the way in our church. You're going to find a lot more information in the weeks to come. In fact, this week, most of you will receive a brochure in the mail, or you can go to one of our sites and grab it, or go online at whoisgrace.com/transform for some more details. This is the largest amount of money we've ever attempted to raise, but we believe that God has positioned us to do it. And today, as we wrap up, I have a very special announcement to make to you. You know, whenever we head into a new vision, we gather our leaders together ahead of time and invite them to make a sort of first fruits financial commitment before the rest of the church. And so our full staff, our ministry leaders, our elders, our Spark leaders, we're invited to commit early. And along with the Forward Project money that will be applied to this campaign, 82 leaders, get this, 82 leaders have committed $912,779 to this vision. Isn't that incredible? Almost $1 million so far, already committed. And on March 25th, Commitment Sunday, you'll have the chance to get us across the finish line, the $2.3 million mark. And let me just share this next step with you. Very easy, as simple as we begin. But begin praying about what God is asking you to do. You have a month to seek God. Listen, before we go, if you're brand new to Grace today, please know that you're not expected to participate at all in this, but I would encourage you to keep coming back. Keep coming back this month for two reasons. One, you're going to get to learn more about what God is up to here and where He's taking us and if you want to be a part of that ride. But two, you'll get to experience the church at its best. You'll see the church when our heart is swelling with generosity toward those outside our walls. It's going to be a very powerful and moving experience as we walk through this month together. And so for those of you who are part of Grace, we have a simple three-step process that we use for these moments. It goes like this. Get informed. I already shared with you how to do that. Two is listen to God. Find your chair every day, be silent, be still before Him, bring all your resources, resurrender all your stuff to Him, and just listen. And then three, do what He says. And for 123 years of our church's history, people have been doing some form of this. And you and I are the recipients today of their generosity and of their sacrifice. They didn't know us. They didn't see our faces. They didn't know our stories, but they knew that Jesus was radically concerned for those who didn't know Him yet. They didn't know that a 14-year-old Derek Sanford was going to move to Erie in the 80s, and be a part of a church and be impacted. They didn't know my face or name, but they gave and sacrificed. And guess what, guys? He has created the church to be the great hope of the world. All of those people from all of those eras gave and sacrificed and extended themselves so that you and I could come and experience God's grace at this church called Grace. And now it's our turn at the plate. It's our turn to give and to sacrifice so that thousands upon thousands of people, both near us and far from us, people who we haven't even met yet, so that they can know the mercy of a Savior who loves them. He's not finished with us yet, Grace Church. There's more work to be done. So I'm asking you to pray this month, to seek the Lord, to resurrender your stuff to Him, to say, Lord, it's all yours. How do you want me to rearrange it and reapportion it and resurrender it in a way that it could be used to advance your kingdom? And then listen to what He says and then do it. And for you personally, if there's any area of your life that remains unsurrendered, if there are any people in your life who remain unreached, any little community in your life that remains unchanged by the gospel, God's not done with you yet either. God bless you.